My name is Thomas Cole. I am a radiation oncologist at the Valley Mount Sinai Comprehensive Cancer Care Center. I specialize in treatment of prostate cancer as well as other cancers.
Talking this morning with Dr. Thomas Cole of Valley Mount Sinai Comprehensive Cancer Center, and there are advances in the treatment of prostate cancer. A man can now get prostate treatment in 5 short sessions. Tell me about that.
Over the last couple of years, actually the last, I'd say, 15 or so years, we've seen new and emerging treatment options, especially with radiation therapy for patients with prostate cancer. What we've learned over the years is that for selected patients who have prostate cancer that is limited to the prostate, meaning has not spread outside the prostate, and fits into certain categories, which we classify as in the low or intermediate risk categories, that they may be suitable for a treatment course of radiation that's completed in just 5 treatments, as opposed to the standard 9-week or 45 or so treatment course of radiation that had typically been prescribed for many, many years.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's been really become a very good option for patients. It's very convenient. The patients do very well with the treatment, have very limited disruption in their daily lives, and so it's become a tremendous benefit for patients for dealing with their cancer in a way that doesn't take them away from what they normally love to do.
It's called a stereotactic body radiotherapy, or SBRT.
Yes.
Is it SBRT, I guess, for short. It involves the implantation of gold markers.
Gold markers are there to help guide the radiation. Gold is inert as far as the body is concerned. It doesn't do anything. These markers, what they do is they allow us to target the radiation very accurately, because part of the treatment involves giving the full course of radiation over just 5 treatments as opposed to 45 treatments. So we give higher doses of radiation on a per treatment basis than we normally do. So where the prostate sits in the pelvis, it's surrounded by other very important things. And so we want to make sure that we're very accurate with the radiation so that we don't put the patient at risk for significant injury to any of those other things. And so what the gold allows us to do is actually see the prostate very well on our imaging.
Oh.
And allows us to perform what's called image-guided radiation therapy so that our radiation can be directed very accurately, and also assess in real time for any prostate motion, because the prostate is constantly under the influence of external forces that can move it in a various number of directions. So depending on whether or not, depending on what you ate that day, how much gas you might have, or how full your bladder is, these things can all influence where the prostate sits in your pelvis, and that could change on a minute-to-minute basis.
But when you put these gold markers in there, those don't move. They stay
fixed. No, those
are
embedded into the prostate itself. Mm. And so where the prostate moves, they move. They're an exact surrogate, so a one-to-one surrogate of what the prostate is doing. And by having at least 3 markers in the prostate, we're able to account for any possible motion that the prostate can have, whether it moves, forward, backwards, up, down, left, right, or even if it rotates in subtle directions. We can account for all of that.
Now, logistically, how does that work? Do you put those, I guess they're called fiducials, is that right? Did I pronounce
fiducials,
it correctly?
Yeah, they're prostate fiducials.
It sounds almost like a financial kind of thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, subtle change in the word, fiduciary versus fiducial.
Now, when you put these markers in there, you put them in first, and then the radiation follows, or do you have to wait a couple of days after the implantation, or how does that work?
So the markers are put in, and then once the markers are put in, the patient is given about a week for the markers to sort of settle in their final resting positions, and then they come to see us to begin their planning for the radiation. Mm. So they go through what's called a simulation, which is a planning session, where we create a mold for the patient to lay in, which is the same mold that they'll lay in for each of their treatments, and then get some scans or CAT scans, CT scans, that will allow us to create a three-dimensional model of the patient in our computers, and that's how we generate the radiation plan. We often also use MRI imaging in conjunction with our CT imaging so that we can get an even better picture of the anatomy within the pelvis where the prostate sits so that we can very accurately guide where we want the radiation to go, and almost, you know, just as importantly, is where we don't want it to go.
Once these markers are put in, is there a chance that they could migrate, or are they fixed?
So there, it is possible for markers to migrate in certain cases. It depends on the markers that are used. For the markers that we use, they tend not to to migrate.
Mm-hmm.
And we always put in four markers, even though we only need three, just to account for if there was any issue with one of the markers. We always have another to fall back on.
After the radiation, are they taken out?
No, they stay with you forever.
Oh, and do they set off detectors at the airport? Or
No, not at all, not at all. The markers themselves are, they're not radioactive or anything like that. They really have no therapeutic function whatsoever. They're just there because they're able to be seen on images very brightly.
Okay.
So it would be no different than anyone that has a metal implant in their body somewhere else. And these are very, very small. These markers are about the size of a grain of rice. So they're not something that will affect travel in any way.
Can they be felt?
No.
In there? No. Interesting. Well, now men fear the side effects with anything that has to do with prostate cancer treatments. Let's talk about the side effects in the old days. And you have something new when it comes to preventing side effects now. But what could happen?
So typically when patients receive radiation therapy, and any type of radiation therapy for prostate cancer, whether it be the full 9-week course or a more hybrid course somewhere in the 4 to 5 week range or just the 5-treatment course, they have a typical range of side effects that they may experience. And it's really related to irritation of things around the prostate that also get some radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really talking about are the bladder and the rectum. And so that the majority of the side effects can be some urinary side effects, so some things like some increase in the urge to go to the bathroom or the frequency with which you have to relieve the bladder,
mm-hmm.
Possibly getting up more in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And those are things that can happen during the course of treatment or just shortly after the treatment is completed and usually subside within a few weeks. Sometimes we use some medicines to help relieve some of those side effects, but the majority of the side effects are quite mild. The next set of side effects that we worry about are gastrointestinal ones, so ones that are really associated with radiation that is delivered to the adjacent rectum, which is the bottom part of the colon that goes right behind the prostate. And so sometimes those side effects can be an increase in the number of times you have to move your bowels per day, or the feeling that you have to move your bowels even though you don't, or even sometimes some pelvic pain or cramping. In terms of those side effects, those are things that we have a new device now that we are using in conjunction with our radiation that has been demonstrated in clinical trials to really decrease the rate of those side effects and the risk of those side effects long term. So the SpaceOAR device, it's a hydrogel, which is just a substance that sort of a jello-like substance. At the time that we placed those gold markers into the prostate, during that same procedure, we also can place a temporary gel just behind the prostate. So a needle can be guided into the thin space that exists between the prostate and the rectum under ultrasound guidance, and a gel can be injected into that space to create more space between the prostate and the rectum. This, on average, creates about 1.3 centimeters of space between the prostate and the rectum. And in terms of the way we deliver radiation, that's like a mile. It allows us to move the rectum out of the region where high doses of radiation would normally exist, and therefore greatly decrease the risk of any potential short and long-term side effects with the treatment. There have been randomized clinical trials that took patients who were receiving radiation therapy for prostate cancer and randomized to having this gel placed or giving them a placebo, and the patients that received the gel had significant improvements in their long-term quality of life, basically through due to reduction in any gastrointestinal side effects.
All from 1.3 centimeters. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, in radiation oncology, we deal in a world of millimeters, and so when you're talking about spaces as big as 1.3 centimeters, that's quite a large difference.
Well, this has been fascinating to hear about, and I'd like to conclude by asking you, how often are men, I know this isn't exactly in your wheelhouse, but how often do you get checked for prostate cancer?
So that's a sort of a loaded question, actually, because it's been pretty controversial over the last few years. We've gone from a time, in 2012, where it was recommended that men are not really screened for prostate cancer at all.
No.
To now some recent changes in that recommendation, where it's now been deemed appropriate to screen men in the age range of 55 to 69 years by an agency called the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. But they still recommend against screening in men 70 years or older. This is not something that has not been completely endorsed by the medical community. Mm-hmm. And I think that the screening for prostate cancer is something that has to be individualized on a per patient basis. It needs to take into account things like your family history, what other medical problems you have, how old you are, and it's something that I think is a discussion that needs to take place between a patient and their primary care physician to kind of go over what potential benefits or risks they may have for getting screening, mm-hmm. because screening can result in biopsies. Biopsies sometimes can have their own complications, and the reality is that prostate cancer for some people can be very slow growing, so not everyone needs to be screened. But mm-hmm. It's not something that I think can be done on a one-size-fits-all approach. It's a very individualized thing, and I think it's a discussion that all men should have with their primary care physician.
Anything else you want to add about prostate cancer in general, or specifically about any of the new developments in the field?
I think, it's been a very exciting time for those of us in the, for those of us that treat prostate cancer, where there are new treatment options that are coming out for patients with all stages of disease all the time. And we are in a much better position today than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to help patients live full lives with this disease. And I think all patients should discuss with, if they get the diagnosis of prostate cancer, they should discuss with their physicians, talk to their friends and family, really search out their options, because they have many of them, and come up and figure out what the right option is for them.